Thank you for taking the time to listen to this CD. You may hear some things that challenge your thinking, challenge your understanding of the Scripture, but also encourage you and edify you. In Acts chapter 17, the Scripture speaks of the noble Bereans who received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. My prayer today is that your nobleness and hunger for God will be stimulated through this Free Food for the Soul CD. Now, let's have some free food for the soul. Mark chapter 10, start with the 17th verse. Mark chapter 10, starting with the 17th verse. If you could stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, and we'll honor God today. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said unto him, "Teacher, all these things have I kept from my youth." And Jesus looked at him and loved him, had compassion on him. As I said before, that's not some kind of homosexual thing. Amen. That's brotherly love. That's compassion upon a soul. Can I answer it? That'd be fun. "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And with the help of the Lord today, I'd like to continue probably on our last time, probably. Offended but not blessed. Offended but not blessed. Amen. Jonathan, why don't you come and pray and ask for the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of the word today. Amen.
Bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord Jesus, thank you for entering our hearts and bringing us into your place of worship. Lord, I ask you to bless the preacher, Lord. Bless his word. I know your word comes back anointed each and every time. Just open our hearts so that we may be ready and willing to receive you. In your mighty name I pray.
Amen. You can be seated in Jesus' name. If you've been missing church, we have the CDs. I believe this is my fourth teaching, preaching on offense. We've looked at it from various aspects. We're going to look at it from another aspect again today. A lot of people fall away from God because of offense. Sometimes it's offense between people. Sometimes people get offended with God. This is what happened to the rich young ruler here. But the word offense is used in, scripturally, it's used in different ways. One way is to cause you to stumble and cause you to fall. Of course, the other ways have to do with disagreements between people and so on and so forth. And let me make a statement that I've made before, which is not on these slides. And by the way, I wrote these. These are not canned sermons. I didn't write the scriptures, but the thoughts came from the Lord. Amen. How we respond to offense, whether it's being offended by God. You say, well, how can you be offended by God? Well, I don't have it all in here today, but Jesus picked up on what this guy's issue was. And he was disheartened, he stumbled, he fell, he was offended because of Jesus, because of what the Lord told him. People can be offended by the word. And of course, people can be offended by each other. And that, of course, is the work of the enemy. The work of the enemy is to throw disharmony in the church. Amen. Come on. Amen. You know, Brother Readout, some of you know Brother Readout. He teaches and he says, you know, the Bible commands that you have to love me. Doesn't that the Bible command that we have to love one another? Sure. Does the Bible command you to be lovable? Think about that one. That one's messed up. Nowhere does the Scripture command us to be lovable, but it commands that we have to love one another. The reason is because no matter how hard we try, we can slip up. Amen. Let me see if I remember that scripture. I believe it was 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. No, it's not. 2 John chapter 3 and verse 2. No. Okay. I'm kind of backwards here today, but you're just going to have to believe me on this. But the scripture tells us, or maybe it's 2 Peter chapter 3. No, 1 Peter. Oh, I'm in 1 Peter. How about that? Will you forgive me for not being perfect? Okay, well, I'm just going to have to quote it for you. We can look it up later. But the scripture says that any man that offends not in word or in deed is perfect and has attained perfection. And the apostle was not saying how perfect he was. He was saying that we all have imperfections. And I believe that's why the Lord never commanded us to be lovable, but he commanded us to love one another. We're commanded because of love to bear with one another, to overlook one another's faults. Amen? I'm not talking about somebody using you now, somebody abused, being abusive, and so on and so forth. But you understand what I'm talking about. Generally in life, we have to bear with one another and we overlook things. Amen? Or is it just me? I overlook things. But Jesus had the number. And I want to give you some points to ponder if you go, I believe, you're there. Okay, you're there. Joshua is excellent. And again, why don't you, Josh is going to go home for a couple of weeks. He's going to go out in the mountain. He's going to pray and fast, talk to the Lord. Ask him for direction. So let's pray with him that the Lord would give him direction over these next couple of weeks. Amen. So remember Josh Crouch. Jesus' view of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said in Mark chapter 5, or Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." And that may... And while we live in the age of grace, people don't understand many times the relationship between the law and grace. The Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, Jesus said, "I've not come to get rid of the law." You will find later on in the scripture, and we'll bring that scripture out, talks about the law contained in commandments and ordinances, and we're going to go and explain that a little bit better. That did pass away, but it's still wrong to murder. Amen? It's still wrong to defraud and to cheat and to steal. You don't get by with the grace of God on that. He said here, "Don't think I've come to get rid of that stuff. Don't think I've come to get rid of the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one dot will pass from the law till all is accomplished." Going to the next slide, the 19th verse. Notice this, though. "Therefore, whosoever relaxes one of these least of the commandments, and teaches others to do the same." Be careful of somebody that claims that we're just released from all this stuff. Be careful of that. Scripture says he's the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's the hard one for the pastor. The pastor's got to teach some things, but he also has to do his best to live the word of God. Amen. For a Bible teacher, you got to live the word of God. We all need to live the word of God. Amen. We really do. He goes on, he says in the next slide, he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Never going to enter it. Unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, we cannot hope to be saved. Doesn't that mess with your mind? Because he condemned the Pharisees. And we're going to look into that. How he condemned them, why he condemned them. You say, well, what does this have to do with the rich young ruler? We're going to get there, and I'm going to let you understand why he did that, why he told them that. Let's go to the next slide. Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, that you may have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Jesus identified and called out. He knew exactly what the rich young ruler's problem was. He knew what it was that was going to be his issue. And the interesting thing was, he didn't give the man much space to work it out. He just flat out told him, he said, "Take everything you got, sell it." And the man, the scripture says, was sorrowful and walked away. In the next slide, in Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 27, we're going to look at the Amplified Version. Let's talk about exceeding the righteousness issue. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders." Pretenders. We cannot afford to be a pretender. Amen? We cannot afford to be a hypocrite. You know, they say when you're in troublesome times that what's in your heart will come out. And I was so glad when I sliced off my fingertips that I said, "Jesus, help me." That's the first thing I said. Maybe not that calmly. You go try to cut your fingers off and see. Thank God it was just the fingertips. And see what you say. But I have been so grateful ever since that I was like, "Thank you, Lord. Amen." Because it shows me something about myself, that all the work I've been doing for years is starting to work out a little bit. Hallelujah. You know, living for God is a growth cycle. You may not be there now, but you got to get there sooner or later. It might take you a little while, but you start growing. Amen. But he said, "You pretenders, you hypocrites, for you give a tenth of your mint and your dill and your cumin and have neglected and omitted the weightier, more important matters of the law." He was not condemning tithing here. He said, as a matter of fact, you went and you tithe to the very minute, littlest, little bit of possible. You made sure nothing was left out. Later on, he says, you should have done that. But here, he condemns them because he says, you left out the more important things. Matters of the law. Right and justice, mercy and fidelity. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. And some have said that, you know, after Jesus died, that he let us go from everything, that we don't have to pay our tithing and so on and so forth. But why would he say just before, just a couple of chapters before he was crucified, you should have done all this, but you know what? It's only good for the next 2 weeks. No. He said he should have done those things. But really, there are some things more important. You know what's more important to the Lord than what we do on the outside? It's what's inside this skin. Right now, nobody can read your mind. You could be looking at me and saying, Pastor E, man, I love this preaching. Or you could be sitting there saying, Pastor E, you are an idiot. I don't know. I guess some people are good at reading body language, but if I don't have my glasses on, I can't read body language. They're developing a cell phone now that can actually read your thoughts. That's scary. You'll be able to think the words and you won't even have to talk. It'll go over the cell phone. I don't know how close they are, but that's a really scary thing. Because maybe one day they'll be able to read your mind. But right now, and for since the creation of man, nobody's been able to read your mind. And we can fool people on the outside. In the English language, the word is facade, a false front. We can present one thing on the outside, be something totally different. Now, I'm talking about intentionally. I'm not talking about somebody that struggles with themselves and they're trying. That's not what I'm talking about. There are people that are intentional pretenders. Intentional. Not struggling, folks. There's a difference. He says, you should have not forgot about the other stuff, righteousness, justice, mercy, fidelity. Go to the next slide. Have you ever considered fidelity? What is fidelity in the English language? We'll have a little English class here. Fidelity is faithfulness to a person, faithfulness to a cause, faithfulness to a belief, demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. Now, this is a modern definition on the second one. It says sexual faithfulness to a spouse or a partner. Just make it to your spouse. Amen. The Lord put marriage in there. But fidelity is faithfulness, and fidelity is something that this world sorely lacks. Fidelity to a belief, fidelity to the Lord, fidelity to the Word of God. Having fidelity to the Word of God will take us through offense, because we understand that we don't serve people, we serve God. Because no matter how much, how hard we try, we're not perfect and we'll fail someone. But fidelity will help us to overlook the faults of our brother. Faithfulness will help us overlook those things because we love God. Righteousness, justice, mercy, fidelity. Let's go to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, which is on the next slide. The prophet said, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require? Have you ever asked that question? Okay, God, what do you want from me? But to do justly, to love kindness, to love mercy, to humble yourself. Well, I can handle that justice part, but don't ask me to humble myself. I don't ask it. The Lord asks it. Or am I reading the scripture wrong? Scripture says in another place, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. You say, well, why haven't I been exalted? Well, maybe God's figured out it ain't due season. There's reasons God lets things happen, and there's reasons God doesn't let things happen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's the truth of the Word of God. It said, walk humbly, humble yourself, walk humbly with your God. So going back to the Pharisees now in the next slide, on the 24th verse, he said, you blind guides, filtering out a gnat and gulping down a camel. The Pharisees and the scribes' issue was one of doing what appeared to be right on the outside, where somebody could look, where somebody could see. They would go ahead and they would make sure everything was up to snuff, but where you couldn't see, they couldn't care less about. The scripture talks about how they were dirty on the inside, filthy on the inside, unjust, unrighteous, unfaithful, unmerciful. Not a good way to be. You say, well, what does this have to do with offense? You know, when the Lord shows you these things, sometimes people get upset. You might be upset with me today. I don't know. I can't tell. But if I step on your toes, you know, like I said, that's an old Southern saying. The preacher goes and he preaches and he gets on your territory. That's called stepping on your toes. So maybe the Lord steps on your toes and you stumble or you fall instead of humbling yourself. Hallelujah. The next slide, in the 25th verse, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders again, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but within they are full of extortion, prey, spoil, plunder, and grasping of self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, in the next slide. First, clean the inside of the cup and of the plate, that the outside may be clean also. Let me make a statement here that inward cleansing should bring outward cleansing. Amen. When God cleans up the inside, and he said that's the place we start. We don't start with the outside. We start with the inside. When you clean the inside, though, it should begin to show on the outside. Go to the next slide. Because, as I put there, the majority of Christianity, have you noticed that today in the Christian world, I'm not talking about an apostolic, I'm not talking about us, but in the majority of the Christian world, somebody can come up to you and say, I'm a Christian. You couldn't tell it. They've abandoned the cleaning of the outside. They've abandoned that part. It's not necessary. But Jesus let us know that you ought to clean the inside and the outside. See, the outside was not an issue in Jesus' day. The outward appearance, or what we call holiness, is an issue in our day because people are not taught anything in their younger lives. They grow up since the 60s. They grow up in rebellion. They grow up far from God. What was the 60s about? You know, love, peace, sex, drugs, rock and roll, 60s, 70s, 80s. And now when we see their children today, we see from that age, you may see children that had children in the 50s and the 60s that rebelled against the righteousness of their parents. Their children know nothing about righteousness because they're going to let them make their decision. They're going to let them make their choice. They're not going to teach them anything. If you don't teach your children about righteousness, you're making a mistake. Children are not naturally going. Some will turn to the Lord. We've got Samuel and so on and so forth, but you've got to teach your children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go. But we see an entire generation where people have been taught to just do what you want to do. It'll be all right. They have no concept of God. They have no concept of holiness. They have no concept of morality. So we see these things that are happening here. That's why it becomes necessary in our day to teach on outward holiness, even appearance. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not an issue in Jesus' day. Let's go to the next slide, the 27th verse. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Again, he uses the words in the translation, pretenders and hypocrites. You're like the tombs that have been whitewashed. They look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside they're full of dead men's bones and everything impure. I hate to use this term with you, but I remember burying my mom and dad. I remember looking in the little mausoleum where they laid them. I don't think I'd want to open that now because it's full of dead bones and flesh that is gone, even though they're embalmed. It's going to be more like a mummy. That's what Jesus said that the Pharisees were like. Everything looked good. Now you can go to where my mom and dad are. It looks pretty good. But I'm not interested in opening it. That's what Jesus said the Pharisees were like. We don't want to be a Pharisee. We want to do like Micah said in Micah 6 and 8. He said, do justly, love kindness, love mercy, humble yourself and walk humbly with your God. Don't walk arrogantly with God. You'll never get anywhere walking arrogantly with God. You can't bully God. You know, they got a big problem with bullying today. They always, you know, they've always bullied. I don't know why it's any different today. I remember getting bullied one day and I punched a guy. He hit me and man, I just hauled off. Today that's not acceptable. I don't know why it's not acceptable. Protect yourself. But that's a whole other issue. Maybe I'm just old school. I went and got my hair cut the other day. I finally found a guy that can, well, I knew where this guy was. It was down in Staten Island. I had to go see Brother Carter. And I don't want to pay $15 in tolls to get a haircut. But he cut my hair. And I said, why can't I find somebody to cut my hair like that? He says, you're the old style. I said, I don't care. As long as it's cool and it looks like that, it's fine. I don't care what you say. He was an older man. As a matter of fact, I think they're Armenian, the barbers out there in Staten Island. Nice people. But think about this. Go to the next slide. Jesus never condemned the Pharisees' outward righteousness. You don't find anywhere that he condemned them for what they did on the outside, how holy they looked or how they dressed. It didn't bother him. What he did condemn them for was what wasn't on the inside. The inside was filthy and nasty and dirty. And on the outside, they were saying, look how holy and look how righteous I am. One scripture says, you love to stand and pray in the street corner so everybody can see you. You love to give where everybody can see you give. You love to fast and make sure everybody knows that you're fasting. You love it when people notice what you're doing. That's what he got on them for. What was on the outside, not what was on the inside. Because on the inside, that's where nobody can see. And he never came to destroy, but to show us how to fulfill these things. Amen. The next slide, this is what offended people. The Pharisees got offended with Jesus. How would you like it if I talked to you that way? Jesus, man, he gets a whole lot more slack than I do. Somebody comes in and they're so righteous and holy, and I tell them, you know what, you viper, you den of iniquity, you need to repent before God. I'd be shown that I was ugly, mean, and nasty. People would get upset with me even here. Jesus walked in, what would he do? If Jesus came in, would we have fear inside of us of what he would say to us? because he's the one that can read. I can only see what God shows me. You know that, right? I'm not, you know, there are people that are trained in body language, and I'm not trained in body language, and they can do some things because they're educated in that respect. But there are things that the Spirit shows you that no body language can show you. And unless God shows me some things, I'm clueless. I think it was Daniel that said that. He says, the Lord has not shown me this thing. So don't expect me to be a mind reader. If you have an issue or problem, come talk to me. I don't bite, I promise. Have I bit anybody here? No, I haven't, so I don't bite. Jesus knew what offended. He knew the outside. Let's think about this. Jesus knew on the outside the rich young ruler had it down, just like the Pharisees. He said, you know the commandments. And what did the rich young ruler say? He said, teacher, I've kept all of these from my youth. Nowhere does he say that you're nowhere, you're not going to have to keep them no more. Next slide. But on the inside, where no one could see that riches were his God, he asked him to fulfill the law and have no other gods before him. He said, where did you get that from, Pastor? He was just rich. He just had goods. You know, some people make their money their God. Their money is their God. Their money, they don't trust God that God is able to. This is why some people have a hard time giving. They don't understand that God's the one that blesses. God's the one that makes a way. Amen? They think by their own hand, they've worked their whole life. They've got all these riches laid up. Let me tell you something. One fast move of the stock market, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. People can't retire today because they lost everything. They put their trust in riches. The rich young ruler put his trust in riches, and Jesus could see that. Amen? He knew these things. Go to the next slide. He pointed him, basically, back to the Scripture. Remember Jesus said, I'm not come to destroy, but I've come to fulfill. What could he possibly fulfill with the rich young ruler? Look at it. What does it say? It says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself any graven image to worship or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath. Thou shalt have no god. This is not my God. Some people worship the almighty dollar. Amen. Or the almighty $5 here. Go to the next slide. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of who love me and keep my commandments. Let me ask some of you that have been faithful with God. Can you point to some times in your life where you don't know how it happened? You've been faithful with God. You've given and all the rest of that. You've been living for God. And God has taken care of you in spite of circumstances that seem like it's not possible that God would be able to do anything for you. Come on, amen. We all know that. We've got stories here that we could tell. Let me remind you about Brother Benny. Sister Donna lived for God all those years. We prayed for how long, Brother Benny? Was it 5, 6, 7 years? And your friends still don't believe it. His visa got rejected in the Philippines. They said he can never come to the United States. It's done. It's over with. And I told Sister Donna, we're just going to keep praying. Why keep praying? She couldn't have, if she had $10 million, she couldn't have got a visa for her husband. But prayer gave him that visa. Prayer allowed him to join his family who was here. You couldn't buy that. You couldn't do that. How many of you have been healed? God has healed you. God has done some things in your life. Brother Soon was sharing with me the other day. He's been having a lot of hip pain. And they diagnosed him with having a severe, I guess, blood clot in his hip. And all of a sudden, it's just not so bad right now. Is that correct, Brother Soon? It's not so. Why is that? Because God will bless to 1,000 generations and have mercy upon those that love him. Those that. I hope you are enjoying today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block from Town Hall. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. Now, let's get back to the remainder of today's message from Free Food for the Soul. Serve him. You can expect that if you're a servant of the Lord, you've been faithful with God, that the Lord is going to help you in your circumstance. The Lord is going to take you. And you say, what if I just come to the Lord? What if I'm new to God? God can still perform some things in your life. Amen. I came to the Lord late in life. I'm not that late. It's 22. That's late enough for me. But God performed some things in my life. Don't you think that because you haven't been living for God all your life that God can't turn things around and change your life? He can do that. Let me read it again. Showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those that love me and keep my commandments, to my children, to my children's children, to my children's children. Blessings come because of your service to the Lord. You can't buy that. Go on to the next slide. Jesus immediately identified it. What did the scripture say? Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What happened? He left offended. He got offended by God. I'm not going to give that. We don't find any place in the scripture where the Lord, where this young man ever came back to God. We don't find in the scripture where Felix ever came back to the Lord, when he told Paul, he said, you've almost persuaded me today to become a Christian. Sometimes it's the hour where God is looking at you and saying, okay, I want you to do this now. Don't wait on God. Come on. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. Don't put God off. Don't say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do this tomorrow. Just go ahead and do it now. Get it over with. You put it off, it may never come. And down the road, you will regret that, I promise you. Serve the Lord, the scripture says, with gladness. Serve the Lord while it's today, another scripture says. Go to the next slide. So does this mean this is the new standard that everyone has to give away all that they have? Of course not. This was his own personal issue of idolatry. Jesus identified it, said, this is your issue. You want to come serve me? Just let go of all the stuff that's hindering you, all the stuff that's dragging you down. Money can be a weight, folks. The Bible says money answers all things, but for some folks, money is destructive. Amen. That's why some people will never get blessed. Because God will never bless them because they never learned to be faithful in the little that God gave them. Why would God give you something to destroy you when you cannot even handle the little bit that God gave you? If you will learn to be faithful in the little bit that God gives you, you say, well, it's not much to be. Let me give you an example. In our organizational stuff, when we give to the home missions division of our of our church group, we're supposed to, into our district, we're supposed to take 10% and give it to the national organization. And we fund the national home missions through that. And several years ago, I had the discussion with our leader at that point, and I said, we've got some money. I need to send this money. And he said, no, it's not enough. I don't want to be embarrassed. There's nothing to be embarrassed about being faithful with God. Amen. As a result, our district home missions went totally to the bottom, and now it's finally starting to come out and turn back around because we're able to do the things that we're supposed to do. But don't think that your little bit is embarrassing, because it's not. Amen? It's showing that you're faithful. It's showing that you're going to put God first in your life. And you say, well, why does God do that? I hate this talk. I'm going to show you why. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, next slide. Nobody. Look at your neighbor and say, not even you. Come on, look at somebody. I'm watching you. Look at somebody and say, not even you can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate one and love the other, or he's going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. Hallelujah. The next side. Next slide, please. Jesus has no commandments. Some people would have us believe that Jesus has no commandments. There's nothing, you know, it's all grace and mercy, and we call it sloppy agape. You know, everything goes. Well, that's not what Jesus said. The law said, showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. Next slide. Jesus said in John 14 and 15, and we're reading from the Amplified here, if you really love me, obey my commandments. You say, well, what commandments does Jesus have? He's the Word of God. Where do you think the Word came from? He wants us to teach us how to fulfill what's already in the Word of God. Go ahead to the next slide. What passed away? People have a great misunderstanding what passed away in the Old Testament. Ephesians 2:15. I'm using the King James here because it really brings it out better. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Not the moral law of God. Not the civil law of God. But the law contained in ordinances. Go to the next slide. In Numbers 14:41, the scripture says, Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandments of the Lord? It shall not prosper. The ceremonial or the provisional laws were added because people continually transgressed the moral laws. And what happened was, go to the next slide, the ceremonial law consisted of ordinances, ceremonies, sacrifices in the sanctuary system that pointed to the future redemption through Jesus Christ. Those things which pointed to the future redemption, those things passed. Let me see if I can give you a couple of examples. Go two slides ahead. What passed away? The wearing of woolen linen, the offering of animal sacrifices for transgression of the moral law, adding leaven to bread. So those were some of the things that passed away. Amen. Under the law. Next slide. Sacrifices were offered. I don't know if you know this, but in the temple they offered sacrifices at dawn. They offered sacrifices at dusk. What were those sacrifices significant of? Can anybody tell me? What's one of the things they did in temple service? They offered incense, right? What does the scripture tell us incense is a type of? Anybody? Incense is a type of what? Prayer. Prayer. Let's go on and look. a little bit. Go to the next slide, Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4 from the King James. And another angel came and stood in the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, before we go on to the next slide, don't you think that your prayers don't reach God? Don't you think that when you pray, God doesn't hear you when you pray? Sometimes God's a little slow in my book, but he's got his reasons. Amen? He's got his reasons. If there's one thing that's driven me crazy over the 33 years I served God, is sometimes I'm like, okay, God, this we should have dealt with this already. How come this is still going on? But the older I get, the longer I go, I realize that I learn things from the things that I go through. And the Lord doesn't want us to be ignoramuses. He wants us to learn from our experiences. Amen? That's one of the reasons. I can't tell you every reason because I'm not that smart. So go to the next slide. The fourth verse. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended before God out of the angel's hand. Part of that sacrifice was the burning of incense, which is now prayer. Now, some people, and we've done early morning prayer for years, and let me encourage those that have, you kind of stop praying. Pray. Amen? Pray. You may say, well, does the Lord have a time when he wants to pray? Well, put him in your first and put him in your last part of the day at least. But we see from the tabernacle, which was the temple, which was a type of things to come, that they had the early morning sacrifice and they had the evening sacrifice. Just offer your sacrifice before the Lord. Amen? Amen. We used to have a whole bunch of people that come out for early morning prayer. Now we're down to just a few. But you should make your priority prayer. Amen. If you can get out, and sometimes we're having prayer in the evenings, and we haven't had it now for a month or so, or 2 months, but we're going to have it again. Make a determination to pray. Well, I'll tell you what happens, though. When we have prayer in the evening, for the most part, people's days are going, and they're just going, and they don't have time to stop later on. So if you make your time to pray in the morning, on the Saturday morning, let me tell you, you'll make your day go better. You'll make your weekend go better. Amen? Start your weekend with prayer. Come on, amen. We've been slacking off. I slacked off. You know when I slacked off? I slacked off a little bit before I cut my hand, and it's been hard for me to get back. But I'm getting back in the groove. I'm back in the groove on Saturday mornings. I'm getting back in the groove during the midweek. I don't believe how much this took out of my life, but it took a lot out of my life. And you just got to keep going. You may say, well, I fell down. I haven't done what I should have been doing. You know what? Just get up and do it. Amen? Just get up and do it. Praise the Lord. He says the good man falls seven times and rises again. Don't get discouraged if you fail God. You say, well, God's never going, I'm never going to get back up. Sure you will. Just got to get yourself back up. Amen? Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Next slide. Now we're going to go here he missed it. This is where he missed it. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how difficult. You know, it doesn't say impossible. How difficult it is for those that have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said unto them, children, how difficult is it to enter into the kingdom of God? Why? Because you can't serve two masters. Go on again to the next slide. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished. They said, who can be saved with man? It's difficult. It's not impossible. With man, these things are impossible. But God changes hearts. God changes minds. If you will turn your heart to the Lord, God can make you a new person. With the help of the Lord, I don't care if you're poor, I don't care if you're rich, God can change your life if you will let him, if you will seek him, if you will serve him. There's nothing impossible for God. Hallelujah. The last of our points to ponder and Becky, why don't you go get Mom and ask her to come out here, please, if she can hear me. I don't know if she can hear me or not, but I would like her to come out here just as soon as she can. He missed the blessing. I was talking to somebody the other day about what happens after you get in church. He said, truly I say unto you, there is nobody who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or lands for my sake, for the gospel's sake, who will not receive how much? How much? 100-fold. Some of us like me, you know what happened when I got in church? I lost every friend that I had. I do not have one friend from my childhood anymore. Not one friend from the people that were in the military. I mean, we can talk. I guess I could talk to them if I could find them. But when I got in church, man, they all ran from me like I was light on a cockroach. They just all left me. I had nobody. But you know what? I found that the scripture is true. While I might have lost every friend that I had, I got a whole lot more friends now than I ever had in that life. Amen. He gave me over 100-fold back of what I have. Don't worry when people say, well, you're a Christian. I don't want to be around you. Sometimes when you make a decision for the Lord, you're going to have some people that are going to walk away from you. But the promise of the scripture is that he will add to you. You're going to have better friends than you ever had before. You're going to have better associates than you ever had before. As a matter of fact, if you leave lands and you leave houses, if you give for the kingdom of God, he is going to bless the children of God. Amen? And this is what the rich young ruler didn't understand. The Lord may have taken, but the Lord is going to give back. We look in the book of Job and we see that Job, God took everything he had. Job decided, I'm not going to curse God. And he blessed him. I cannot remember scripturally how many times, but he had more than he ever had before because he said, I'm not going to curse God and die. I'm going to serve the Lord all of my life. I don't care what happened in my life. I'm just going to keep on living for God. And God will bless you down the road if you will just hang in there. On the short term, you may be lonely. You may say, what's happened? Why are people treating me like this? But when you get down the road a little bit, it's going to be so much better because you're going to have friends and you're going to have associates. You're going to have lands and you're going to have houses. Come on. He missed the blessing. He got offended. Let's all stand. We're not talking here about forgiving others because you ought to forgive others. We're talking about not being offended with Jesus, not being offended at what he asked from you. You may be feeling, I may be preaching to somebody today that you feel like, and God's talking to you, and you're like, I'm not sure I want to pay that price. I'm here to tell you, don't get offended, don't stumble, don't fall, because there is a blessing that's going to come if you will just walk with the Lord. Amen. Why don't you just bow your head? Just ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Speak to your mind. Let the Holy Ghost move upon you, the Spirit of the Lord. If you've never received the Holy Ghost today, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I think we're going to sing an old song. Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me. Does anybody want to step out of your seat? Gather yourself around the altar. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved. Don't get offended for Jesus. Don't get offended by your brother. Don't get offended by God. If you do that, you're going to miss the blessing. Was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious deed that grace. Don't you know he's going to give you the grace to walk through those hours of loneliness, to walk through those hours of trial? You know, it's an old saying that before every storm, before every dawn, there's a night. You got to go through the storm to come to the end of the storm. Become. God's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace is gonna lead me home.
Come on, why don't you seek the Lord?
When we
kneel at the altar, stand where you are, kneel in your pew. You know what I'm saying is true. There's a witness of the Holy Ghost in this place. Some are at a crossroad. What do I do, Lord? Some are at a place. He said, just walk with me. Just walk with me. Just humble yourself. Just walk with me. Well, it's amazing, amazing grace. Oh, how sweet. Do justly. Love kindness. Love mercy. Humble yourself. Walk humbly with your God. That's all he wants from you. He wants to be able to talk to you. He wants to be able to deal with you. He wants to be able to help you. Don't get arrogant with God. Don't be like a rich young ruler and said, I got too much to give up for you, Jesus. Whatever you got, give it up for the Lord. Whatever's standing between you and the Lord today, take it and put it to the side. Say, there's nothing that's worth my soul. There's nothing that's worth my eternity. I'm so tired of the life that I live. Jesus, give me a new life. Jesus, give me a better place. Some praise with us. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Come on, we need to entertain the Spirit of the Lord here a little bit today. Worship the Lord.
What must I do to be saved?
Well, before I get into the direct answer, I'm going to assume you believe the Bible.
Right.
If somebody doesn't believe the Bible, I start with experience.
Totally different issue.
Well, all of us are sinners, and therefore all of us are separated from God by our sin. And we see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 6, 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the way that we're saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I need to add from the outset is, in the scriptural sense, and certainly when you're talking about salvation, believing is more than mental understanding, mental agreement, or verbal profession. It actually includes obedience to what you profess. And we see this in Romans. Romans 1:5 speaks of the obedience of faith. So the very book and the very inspired author who speaks perhaps more than any other about salvation by faith tells us what kind of faith he's talking about. It's faith that produces obedience. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate one from the other. If you truly believe God, you'll believe His Word. If you truly believe His Word, you'll act upon His Word. If I yell out, the building is on fire, if you really believe that, you're not going to just sit there and tell me, oh, thank you for that bit of information, I acknowledge it and I profess it. No, you're going to act on it. You're going to run out of the building. And if you do, we could say that I saved you. Or we could say that you're saved because you believe me. Or we could say you're saved because you acted on what you believe. And that's why Romans 6:17, Paul says that you used to be the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the doctrine that was delivered you. So the same author that says you're saved by believing the gospel also says you're saved by obeying the doctrine. Those are not two different things. It's right. The same thing. Now, let me fast forward. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 received this wonderful experience. Peter preached to them, to the thousands of believers that gathered. And he preached, if you study it, he preached simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 2. That is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again to provide victory. So we must believe that gospel, or as I've just explained, we must somehow obey that gospel. Believe it to the point that we act upon it, we apply it to our lives. How do we do that? We find the answer in Acts 2. Peter preached the simple message that Jesus died, but His body did not decay in the tomb. He was raised on the third day. And then the people cried out, what shall we do? And He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. When we repent, we're dying to the old life. We identify with Christ's death. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, it's a burial. with Christ. And then when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the resurrection of life of Christ. So when we believe the gospel, we will obey the gospel, and we receive the experience that Peter commanded in Acts chapter 2.
So when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, as is commonly expressed or is expressed in some settings, it's more than just I believe and it being a mental assent, but it's a behavior, it's action taken.
Yes. In Acts, in Romans 10, which you're referring to, if you read that context, Paul was explaining why the Jewish people as a whole are not saved. And he said it's because they've not believed the message of Christ. And then so he explains the basis of salvation, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him. Now, he wasn't explaining to a sinner what to do at the altar. He was writing to the church explaining why aren't the Jews receiving the promises of God? Because their foundation is off. They won't confess Christ. Now, if they will confess Jesus and believe that He rose from the dead, then they could be saved. But of course, his audience knows, well, if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you're obeying Him as your Lord. If you believe that He was raised from the dead, that means you'll receive the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. So he didn't have to fill in the blanks for his audience. They had already experienced that.
He was writing to the church.
Yes, and he was explaining the foundation. You've got to get your foundation right, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't deny, we need to emphasize, salvation is by the grace of God. That means it's a gift of God. We receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith.
I hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. God is real, He cares for you, and has a deeper walk for you in the Spirit. Feel free to be our guest this Sunday at the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block behind Town Hall. Sunday Bible class starts at 12:30, and our worship celebration starts promptly at 1 o'clock. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. I trust that you have been both fed and blessed today from God's Word through Free Food for the Soul.